Would you please join me in a word of prayer? How grateful we are this morning, Father, that we can come into your presence and allow you to speak to us through your word. We invite your Holy Spirit to speak to us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. How many times in your life have you felt that you were in real trouble? I'm not talking about an occasional momentary difficulty. No, I'm talking about real earth-shattering trouble. When you were a child, did you ever steal a candy bar from the corner store and the owner caught you? Did you ever tell a lie and your parents discovered your deceit and punished you? Did you and your teenage friends drive down a rural road knocking over mailboxes with a baseball bat, only to have a local law enforcement officer later come to your home and confront you? I'm particularly using what some would call petty crimes because the truth is that most of us have lived lives completely within the law, so we haven't been exposed to getting caught doing something legally wrong, except maybe for the occasional speeding ticket. Let's get a bit more practical. Did you ever fudge your reporting to the Internal Revenue Service only to get audited and have to pay your tax plus a penalty? Did you ever sell something to someone and mark that cost up into the area of being excessive? Or even more down to earth, have you battled health problems? In most cases, your health problems were not the result of something you caused, but our frail human bodies are subject to all kinds of illnesses. A season of health problems represents a genuine tragedy, especially for those of us who've passed the 70 mark. In the place where I live, Asbury Spring Hill, there are many like me who have mobility issues. They either walk with a walker or rollator or are in a wheelchair. Every single day, I lament the loss of my right leg after 19 years of fighting a chronic bone infection in my right foot. There are so many, many activities in which I can no longer participate. There are many physical tasks I simply can't do anymore. So, like me, my fellow residents at Asbury Spring Hill find themselves challenged by the trouble in which we find ourselves. Then, when we look across the span of humans in the world, we realize that in spite of our personal current conditions, we have it so much better than many others. Some little children in the poorer countries of this world have never known a day without the pain of hunger because they do not have access to a sufficient quantity of healthy food to eat. Others suffer from diseases brought on by the lack of safe water. Still others live in a society where fear is a constant companion because of a corrupt government. It's quite reasonable for us to ask if there's an antidote for trouble. The answer is found in our lectionary scripture reading for today from Psalm 121. The psalmist writes these words, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time and forevermore." No matter what the nature of our trouble, as the psalmist has described, God has promised to be with us as we face whatever has come our way. When we wake in the middle of the night because we've had a bad dream, God is present with us. When we get into our vehicles to go on an errand and face hostile drivers, God is with us. When we look at the pile of work on our desks and wonder how we can possibly get everything done, God is with us. When we hear many voices throughout our day, each voice making a demand on our time, God is with us. When we struggle to keep focused on the task at hand, God is with us. When we can't see clearly enough to read without somehow enlarging the print of the book, magazine, newspaper, or computer screen, God is with us. When some scammer calls us on the phone and pretends to represent our electric utility so that he or she can steal our personal information, God is with us. When some of our longtime friends turn their backs on us because they think we've caused some real or imagined offense, God is with us. The reality for those of us who follow the Lord Jesus Christ is that God is with us in every moment of every day of our lives. No matter what circumstance we face, God is with us. Perhaps, like a few of you over the recent years, I've spent far too much time in the hospital. The hospital may well be the exact place where we need to be when we need medical help, but at least in my experience, the hospital is one of the most horrible places I can be. Many of the doctors, nurses, technicians, aides, and other staff members have treated me with professionalism, compassion, and kindness. But there's always at least one person whose behavior toward me fills me with fear because they seem to either be incompetent or downright mean. But I will tell you with absolute assurance that God was present with me in that hospital bed. As the psalmist has written in Psalm 91, verses 1 through 4, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Being curious, I wondered what some of the stranger words in that passage meant. The fowler is the one who catches wild predatory birds, usually to domesticate and train them to catch and kill small animals. The fowler uses a snare made of cord and places bait inside a loop of that cord. When the wild bird flies down to eat the bait, the snare snaps around the wild bird's legs and captures the bird until the fowler returns to get the trapped bird. Pinions are the most powerful and critical feathers of a bird. When the psalmist writes that God will cover us with his pinions, it means that God will cover us with his strongest and most protective wings or arms. He will hold us close to himself and shield us from whatever may attack us. The psalmist continues, "Under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." Most of us know what a shield is, but what in the world is a buckler? A buckler is a small, round shield worn on the forearm of the soldier as he enters battle. So God not only protects us with his pinions, the fact that he is always faithful will act as both a full-body battle shield and a forearm buckler. The writers of Psalm 121 and Psalm 91 are not the only biblical writers who declare the protection of the God who loves us with his unfailing, undying love. King David penned these words from Psalm 27. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Of all the individuals mentioned in the Bible, certainly King David was one of the most intriguing. A mere shepherd boy, when the prophet Samuel came to his home to seek a person whom God would choose to be the next king of Israel, David was the least of all his brothers. Yet when God affirmed to Samuel that it was David whom he had chosen to serve as king, the scripture records this in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And Jesse said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And Jesse sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The way forward for David would not be an easy one. Over a period of many months, King Saul tried to kill David. In each case, God protected David. When David became king, the enemies of Israel tried to overrun the land and make the people of Israel their slaves. God protected David and led David into battle, from which David emerged victorious. Even when David committed adultery and murder, God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David, thus giving David the opportunity to repent of his sins, which he did. And while David did pay a human penalty as the result of his sins, David remained an individual of whom it was written in 1 Kings chapter 15, "Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned for 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom. And he walked in all the sins that his father did before him, and his heart was not fully true to the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father had been. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn aside from anything that God had commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite." Here was a man, David, who had plenty of trouble in his life, and for whom God proved over and over again that he was David's refuge and protector. In spite of the horror of David's sin, he's declared by God as one worthy of honor. Dear ones, how much more today are you and I? Before the foundation of the earth, God called us to belong to himself, knowing that we were stained by the sin curse of Adam, and that each of us would further that stain by the sins we would commit in our own right. God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, that through his birth, life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension, we might have all our sins forgiven and we might be granted eternal life in God's divine presence. In truth, what greater protection could we possibly receive from God than to know that when we pass from this life to the next, we will spend eternity with God. All our troubles will be over. We will be totally healed of all our infirmities and disease. We will live forever with the God who cares for us, protects us, and loves us with a love that passes all understanding. So if we accept the reality that God will help us when we fall into trouble, how should we then proceed? Please allow me to offer a few suggestions. First of always determine to prepare for the fact that trouble waits just around the corner. I'm not suggesting that we live in fear, dread, or even anxiety. I'm not suggesting that we fortify our psyche with mind-relaxing drugs or turn to some other numbing agent to help us get through each day. No, I'm urging both you and me to determine to take time every day to seek fortification from God's written word, the Bible. By setting aside a very consistent time each day to read, study, and meditate on God's written word, we have the ability to draw a calming strength from God's presence, as illustrated in the passages of Scripture that we read. Consistency is the key. While we all have the natural tendency to fill our days with good intentions, it's important that we set a scheduled time to seek guidance and assurance from the Lord through his written word. By doing so, we will protect ourselves with the shield of faith. When trouble comes, and it surely will, we will have fortified our minds and hearts through the consistent daily awareness of God's power to help us in our time of need. Secondly, at the beginning of every day, we need to ask God in prayer to protect us from the attacks of Satan and to shield our four human modalities from any chink in the shield of faith that God has provided for us. Those chinks, those places of potential vulnerability exist because we are frail human beings still under the sin curse of Adam. Those chinks are not places where God has left us unprotected. Rather, they result from our own sinfulness. So we must specifically ask God to protect our human modalities, heart, soul, mind, and strength, or emotional, spiritual, intellectual, and physical, from the attacks that Satan will hurl against us. If we take those two steps every day, we will find that when trouble descends upon us, we will be able to instantly fall back into the loving and protective arms of God. He will strengthen us and give us the ability to face our trouble without hesitation. Finally, we can bolster our own God-breathed courage to face trouble by preparing ourselves to become instruments of God's mercy, grace, and unfailing love to those brothers and sisters in Christ who may face trouble in their own lives. As Christ's ambassadors, by helping others in their times of need, we will find that such action will enhance the shield of faith that God has given each of us. Let each one of us mark this day that during our most troubling times, God provides us help in order to restore us. Again, during our most troubling times, God provides us help in order to restore us. Amen.